You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Glove Compartment God. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Happy Valentine's Day? Maybe not for you or for some couple you know. Are you constantly bickering? Is the atmosphere in your home so tense that you can cut it with a knife? Contemplating divorce? That's the way it was for Mario and Vivian, a young married couple in Caracas, Venezuela. Their story was shared with me by a mutual friend, Mike Wakeland. Mario and Vivian were a young couple who had been married for about 3 years. Like many young couples living in Caracas, they were faced with the pressures of job uncertainties, inflation, and the constant threat of crime. Mario's job as a radio and television announcer had him working long and irregular hours, and by his own admission, led him to ignore his wife. Soon the couple had drifted apart, linked only by their 2-year-old son. When they did talk, the conversation often was transformed into a shouting match, which generally ended by Mario storming out of the apartment. Mario and Vivian decided their marriage was finished, and they filed for divorce. In Venezuela, a 1-year separation is required before a divorce is granted. And during this year, the young couple tried unsuccessfully to reconcile. It seemed that each time they got together, old wounds were reopened and the shouting returned. Now, let's call timeout on this marital mess. If we shared Mario and Vivian's problems with Dr. Ruth or Dr. Laura or any counselor, they would give their perspective on what this unhappy couple could do. But now you're listening to Dr. Dale. And if you've listened to this program before, you know that I take a religious perspective on life. Jesus once said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That verse leads me to suspect that one big reason that Mario and Vivian's marriage is on the rocks is that they have nothing in their marriage that is more important than they are. Mario seeks first what Mario wants. Vivian seeks first what Vivian wants. A marriage cannot be pulled in 2 different directions for very long without crashing. A marital wreck is about to happen. Seek first the kingdom of God. How would you picture Mario and Vivian's relationship to God? Oh, they knew that God exists. That will become evident when the story continues. But so what? God was no big deal to them. He was just existing, like a rock or a tree, or like, picture this. Mario and Vivian's relationship to God was like proof of insurance in the glove compartment. You know that many states and provinces require drivers to carry proof of insurance. Most of us simply stick that card or paper in the glove compartment and forget about it. You don't think about the insurance company when you get into the car to do your daily business. You can drive any way you want. You can drive any place you want. You are the driver. You're in charge. You can do what you want, whether the insurance company likes it or not. That proof of insurance simply exists, stuck away in the glove compartment. It's irrelevant until you've had an accident. That's when that irrelevant piece of paper becomes pretty important. That's the way I picture Mario and Vivian's relationship to God. For a while, they were getting by. Yeah, sure, God exists, they might have said, but so what? We're getting by. Well, their individual desires and drives were in sync for a while, but they're not in sync any longer. Now their marriage is careening toward disaster, and in desperation, they turn to God. Time to pull him out of the glove compartment. Let's pick up the story again. Each time Mario and Vivian got together, the old wounds were reopened, and the shouting returned. Finally, just a few short weeks before they could finalize their divorce, they decided to give their marriage one more try and also decided to look for help. They came to El Salvador Lutheran Church one Sunday morning to see if maybe God had an answer for them. While they didn't come right out and shout their problem to the whole congregation, Pastor Mike Wakeland and his wife Kathy recognized that this was a young couple who needed to hear about God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. They invited them to supper that night and spent several hours listening to them, sharing the gospel with them, and praying with them. Mario and Vivian found the power of forgiveness. They experienced the forgiveness of their sins and began to learn about forgiving each other. They did not go through with her divorce, but instead recommitted themselves to their marriage. Today their home is not filled with shouts of anger, but rather shouts of joy as they raise their three children and rejoice at what God is able to do through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the story, a happy ending. The moral of the story is this: God wants to be the driving force in your life, not just along for the ride. God doesn't want to be in the glove compartment, just existing and irrelevant to how you live and what you do. God doesn't even want to be your co-pilot. He wants to be the driver in your life. He wants to lead you with His great forgiveness for your sins. He wants to guide you with His Word. He wants to give you courage with His unquenchable hope. He wants to surround you with His unconditional love. Because God wants to do all this for you, why would you relegate Him to the periphery of your life? That's why He says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." That's from Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." When you hear that word jealous, you may think of someone who is petty and small-minded, like some of those characters on soap operas. These characters might exchange valentines, but they don't have a clue about real love. Now, if God were a jealous God in a petty soap opera sense, you could expect Him to strike you or me, to strike Mario or Vivian down with a bolt of lightning and say, "There, that'll show you. Don't you mess with my feelings." But that's not the way God wants you to understand the word jealous. Exodus 20, verse 5 was written in Hebrew. The Hebrew word that is translated jealous is kana. It's an adjective, a word that modifies a noun. Interestingly enough, the adjective kana, jealous, is applied only to God in the Old Testament. It indicates that God, the Creator, demands exclusive service from us, His creatures. Not to give God His due, which is to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not to give our loving devotion to the One who has made us and lavished so many mercies upon us. To put God, as it were, in the glove compartment of our daily life. All this invites His just punishment against our sins. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments." This jealous God is a patient and long-suffering lover. Instead of throwing a temper tantrum because of all the times you and I stick Him in the glove compartment and forget Him, God goes along with it. He lets Himself be marginalized. He stays silent while we sinners direct our lives wherever and however we think best. He waits in silence because He wants us to discover that our independence from Him is nothing more than an invitation to trouble and eventual disaster. God wants all people to be saved and to learn the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. There is no person alive who has ignored God so much. There is no one alive who has marginalized God so many times. There is no one, especially you, whom the jealous God has written off as hopeless. Insurance companies can cancel insurance, but God has not written you off. So seek first the kingdom of God. We all have troublesome areas in our lives. Christians have troubled spots in their lives, and so do non-Christians. For some, it's marriage. Some marriages crash. Others stay together, but everyone is miserable. For others, the troubles are different. Some are careening toward disaster because of alcohol or drugs. others are facing a ruinous bottom line in family finances. For still others, illness is the troublesome area of life. What's your troubled area? As I said, we all, Christians and non-Christians alike, have troublesome areas in our lives. Can you believe that your troubles can be occasions of great blessing? Theologians call this a time of grace. And that's what we are all in, a time of grace. The troublesome areas of our lives are opportunities to tell God we are heading toward disaster, and without His help, we will certainly bring our lives to ruin. God's grace, His kindness, comes to you in your troubled times in the forgiveness and hope that comes in the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus once said, "The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends." And that's what He did on the cross of Calvary. God, the just judge who could punish you and me for all the times we have failed to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, this God chose instead to punish His Son Jesus in our place. In Jesus' hours upon the cross, He experienced that eternal disaster and death toward which we sinners have been steering our lives. What Jesus has done for you expresses an unfathomable love. It's a love for you and for every aspect of your life, especially for those troubled areas in your life where your sin is leading you to disaster. The best thing you and I can do in this limited time of grace, limited, I say, because you don't have all eternity to get it straight. There will be a decisive and absolutely final day of judgment. The best thing you and I can do in this limited time of grace is to act on Jesus' invitation to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Let God take the driver's seat in your life. Seek Him first, and then He promises that the other things will be added unto you. When Mario and Vivian brought their marital mess into contact with the Word of God through Pastor Wakeland's ministry, they realized their need for forgiveness. From that forgiveness came the hope and the power for reconciliation. Last fall, we produced one of our On Main Street television programs. The topic of that talk show was how to survive adultery in marriage. A husband and wife, Kathy and Steve, were on the show. Each had been unfaithful to the other. Theirs was an awful marriage, and yet they were able to put it back together again. That's a real tribute to the restorative power of God. On that program, we also had Janelle. Janelle is a Christian. She was a faithful wife. Her husband cheated on her, and they were not able to put it back together again. What's the difference? One couple gets together again and the other doesn't. Why? In both cases, there was forgiveness. Kathy and Steve forgave each other and then worked to reconcile with one another. Janelle forgave her guilty husband, but he wouldn't work with her toward reconciliation. When God comes out of the background of life, He not only gives the power to forgive, but He also makes reconciliation possible. I am glad that Kathy and Steve reconciled. And I am glad that Mario and Vivian reconciled. Now, how about you? Is the air so thick in your marriage that you can cut it with a knife? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Until next week, glance over at your glove compartment the next time you get into your car. Have you shoved God off to the side of your life? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He wants out. He wants to assure you of His forgiveness. He wants to give you His hope of reconciliation. And He wants to surround you and yours with His love. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.